30 and Nerdy Podcast is a Studio 66 production brought to you by Tennessee Legend Distillery. Founded in 2017, Tennessee Legend Distillery has become one of the premier stops in Tennessee for crafted spirits. Here, we won't blow that old smoke in your eyes or herd you like cattle just to make a buck. At Tennessee Legend Distillery, we want you to feel at home and treated like a legend. Because here, you are one. Whether it be our Tennessee Wild Man Vodka, our number one selling salted caramel whiskey, our 120 proof Hammershine, the King Snake Bourbon Whiskey, or any of our other spirits, we promise that there is something here for you. We are also your stop for the line of Assassin's Creed products with our partnerships with Ubisoft and Anthem Spirits. You can get the AC-15 Bourbon Whiskey, the Valhalla Vodka, our Edward Kenway Spiced Rum, and a lot more on the horizon for 2024 from Ubisoft, Anthem Spirits, and Tennessee Legend Distillery. Even if you aren't in driving distance, go to TennesseeLegend.com to see how you can get our spirits and merchandise shipped to you. So what are you waiting for? Come walk among legends at Tennessee Legend Distillery. What's up, nerds and nerdettes? Welcome back to another episode of the 30 and Nerdy Podcast. I'm your host, the Duke of Nerds, the sweet tea of the nerdy South, Tyler Mack, and joined by the co-host, the juicy one. He's freshly squeezed. He is the doctor of nerdonomics, Josh Davis. What's up, Doc?
When there's something strange and it don't look good, who are you going to call?
30 and Nerdy Podcast.
30 and Nerdy. Yeah, that's true.
It's true.
That was my Paul Rudd for you.
Yeah, that was good.
Thank you.
I was talking to Paul Rudd.
Yeah, thank you. I hope that I look that good when I'm that age.
God, I know, right?
Right?
Start drinking baby's blood with all the other.
Does he have the philosopher's stone in his position?
Him and Jennifer Aniston. And some of the
stole brothers. It straight from little Daniel Radcliffe's pocket. He did. Mm-hmm. Tell you.
Yes. Yes, I did. So we are back for another episode, and we're talking about a few different things, not one particular thing. A few things have happened recently. We are going to discuss the new Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
We're going to discuss the new X-Men animated series, Return, X-Men 97, and we're going to talk about a certain documentary that just dropped that has millennials spiraling.
Yeah.
About a certain time in our lives when we thought everything was great and innocent and all that fun stuff. But we will get to all of that. First things first, Juice, how's your week been, my man?
So great because it's spring break. This is the very beginning of spring break. So coasted through the end of the week last week. A few rehearsals, you know, got some set work done, got to a good stopping point and said, okay, everyone. Enjoy your break. And here we are. And yeah, got a great kickoff to the break by going to the movies, which I haven't had the time to do. I think the last time I went to the movies was when we saw the Boy and the Heron. I'm pretty sure. I've just not had the time.
Me too.
Yeah. We've been doing the theater thing.
This was the first, today was the first weekend day that I have had absolutely nothing on my schedule in months.
Yeah. Probably. I was kind of surprised because you told me last night, well, I'm free most of the day tomorrow. I was like, what? On a weekend?
Yeah. It
never happens.
I know, right?
Hey, well, here we are.
Luckily, the difference in assistant directing a play and assistant directing a musical is, you know, in a musical, there's two other type of rehearsals that have to happen, choreo and music. And fortunately, the way we build teams and our production teams for Encore is the director and assistant director are not needed at every music and choreo rehearsal. That falls to the choreographer and the music director. So sure. Those are literally days off for us.
So fortunately, Godspell is a musical that is very music heavy, very music challenging, because it's literally 10 people. And there's a lot of a cappella moments where they're making the sounds. And so, A, it's very tough on them. These 10 people are talented enough to do it. We have a fantastic cast, but it also comes with a lot of choreo and a lot of music rehearsal compared to blocking days. So a lot of days off for your boy here, which has been really nice. When we did have a rehearsal yesterday, and Alder walked in and he was like, "Hey, how are you?" And I was like, "Rested. I feel like I've gotten enough sleep this week." And he's like, "Good, good." So fortunate this time around. But then, you know, we're 2 weeks away from Something Rotten auditions, and then I'll be back into the very busy fray of being a cast member in a big musical, and
goodness,
won't have days off. So, but it's going really good. You know, we just closed, and the last episode, as we said, we just closed Charlotte. You and I had a successful run with that. Great cast. Kids were fantastic and talented.
Yeah.
Sold out run on all 7 shows, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the heat of Godspell, and like I said, Something Rotten, and hopefully we are a few weeks away from announcing our winter show. So hopefully that's some good news coming around the corner. But how is your show going? You open in...
We open April 18th.
Less
so,
than a month.
Yeah, like 2.5-3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty great, I think. I've got 2 separate casts, which is a challenge. But I was given 2 production classes on my schedule this semester. So okay. I was like, well, I'm not doing 2 shows, so I guess I'm going to have to try to just double cast. And, you know, one class has like 12 kids and the other cast has like 20-something kids. So it's really uneven and kind of challenging. But, you know, I can get a lot of the blocking and the, you know, timing stuff figured out with the small cast, and then a lot of the heavy work like the set pieces and the props and all that stuff done with the bigger group. So we found a way to work together, even though we're not all together, and they're working hard, and they aren't supposed to be off book until April 2nd, but several of them are already pretty close to being off book. So I'm proud of them. They're doing great. It's going to be a really cute, funny little show, Attack of the Killer Man from the Sun.
That's cool.
Actually, I gotta send the script to you and also to David Horton. I think David Horton would eat it up.
I'm sure he would.
So
you need to let him know so I can come see it.
I am going to do that. I think, I don't know if this is something we're supposed to broadcast or not, but is he not like a new grandfather?
He is a grandfather now.
Yeah.
Daughter Marissa. I mean, he's already been a grandfather, but he is a new grandfather.
He's a grandfather again.
Yeah, Marissa, who I've worked with a couple times in shows and watched her grow up in theater, similarly to us having the father she does have. She was pretty much, you know, not immune to theater because of David Horton being her father, but she just welcomed her and her fiance just welcomed their firstborn, and she's doing well. So congratulations, David, if you're listening to this. And we hope to talk to you again soon and see you soon and work with you again soon. I know he's a busy man.
He sure is. Well, let's get to it, though, shall we? There's been some TV that has dropped this week.
There has.
Some big things on the television. And one of them, I feel like we've been waiting on forever and a day. X-Men 97.
Like we've been waiting for it since 1997.
That's, you know, that's true from a certain point of view. That is true. But I can't even remember when it was announced. But to me, it feels like it's been one of those things that was announced early on in the
I'm
Disney
pretty
Plus.
Sure that like we got some sort of announcement and like before the pandemic that like it's being tossed around
something.
And then like late 2021, we got like the, oh, yeah, we're doing it. And here's your cast. And we were just like, oh, my God, they are doing it. So, yeah, we're talking X-Men 97. First and foremost, the sequel series to the original with a lot of original voices returning, which I thought was awesome. Yeah. And I do think a cool thing about it is that you can hear the age in some of these returning voice actors.
Yeah.
Like Cal Dodd, you can tell it's the original Wolverine voice, but there's age to him.
Sure is. You know? Yeah.
He's not that normal, young, gruff. You know, it's got some meat to it, some age, some... That's really cool.
Storm.
Mm.
Storm's the same.
Hearing that original Rogue. Storm voice come through early in episode one, I was like, oh, yes.
And Beast.
Yeah. It was really cool. It's really cool, the ones that have returned. And the ones that aren't the original voices, I think that they've done well to emulate as good as they can.
Yeah, I think Cyclops sounds almost
very
identical.
Similar. Yeah. Very
like
similar.
I had forgotten that the original actor had died.
Yeah.
And this was a replacement. He sounded the same to me. So yeah.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. Props to that guy. So, but overall, I mean, they dropped two episodes. Mm-hmm. What did you think?
I loved it. We watched it this morning. At 34 years old, I was having coffee watching the new X-Men animated series episodes. And the six-year-old that used to watch the new episodes eating pancakes and syrup on his Land Before Time plate was screaming on the inside when that intro music kicked
bum,
on.
Bum, 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 bum,
and
bum,
I
bum.
Even like did like a little like, just looked at me and she went, "Is your inner child screaming?" I said, "Oh, he's elated. He is very happy to be hearing this theme song."
Yeah, mine too.
And she was like, "Isn't this like one of your alarms?" It's like, it is. It's the only reason I get up in the morning sometimes.
It was interesting because it's like it was the same, but changed and upgraded enough that it felt
modernized
new.
Enough. Yeah.
It was the whole thing, really, not just the theme song, but like the intro, but like the whole thing, like the animation and the voices
different.
And it's the same, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's wild. But it they is. Did such a good job of like capturing that nostalgia and that old school feel for guys like us who grew up with mm-hmm. that show, but then like with a new 2024 sort of advancement to it.
In there, in some of their little pop away moments in the intro, like they used to have, even the little Easter eggs in some of the new ones, like the morph and his little thing that says morph is like running away from Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, flashback to like 95 and 96, there was an entire arc of Morph's death wasn't really a death, and he was under the influence of Mr. Sinister and them rescuing him from Sinister. So like just that little detail, I was like, oh God, that took me back, and I was like, oh, Mr. Sinister.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And they added Bishop in there.
Mm-hmm. Bishop's in there. And Morph is even more, you know, mutiny.
He is gender fluid.
Yes.
In this version.
Yes.
And sometimes you see like he'll change to his like 90s human mm-hmm. form with the black hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was cool. And I don't remember if he did this in the original series that much, but I loved how he would change into different heroes. Like he was Archangel, so he could fly and rescue him and stuff. I don't know if he did that so much.
Not much.
In the original series. I know he would like change to disguise himself and stuff like that, but using their powers in combat was a really cool thing.
Yeah.
And like even he turned into the Blob to bounce Wolverine up onto a Sentinel and stuff like that. Loved that. So I thought Morph was really used well in this new upgraded version.
And I like, we were talking a little bit before, increased Scott's skills.
There is
a little bit more badassness to him, a little bit more ruggedness to the way he fights.
Yeah.
Like he's using that blaster to like move himself around the room as opposed to just standing and shooting, you know, hitting a button on the side of his eyes like he did a lot.
Yeah.
I like him a little bit better in this one.
he did the whole, we were talking about when they, the Sentinels blew up the Blackbird, RIP Blackbird. I'm sure there's more somewhere, but, and they're all falling. And so Morph turns into Archangel and catches everybody. Of course, Storm can fly, Rogue can fly. And then Cyclops is like, all right, team, I'll just meet you on the ground. Goes into a dive, uses his powers to like slow himself down by shooting the ground, and lands and calls the team together. So to cool.
My X-Men.
That was the battle too, where I think like Storm struck lightning all over the sand to turn it into glass, and then used it to shred the Sentinels to pieces. Yeah. Oh, it was and so cool.
A lightning striking sand, which y'all know makes glass, and then turn into a glass tornado, shredding the Sentinels to pieces.
And then
the double up of Gambit on Gambit top of Wolverine. Like, a team movie, like a team move in a video game or something.
Charged up the claws.
Yes.
Rode on him, charged up the claws. The Morph sends Wolverine flying as the blob up into the Sentinel. Boom. Carves through him, blows up the, I think it was actually the Master Mold they killed.
It was, and then the Master Mold.
Don't forget Beast, like jumping into the Sentinel and taking control of it, using it to fight the other ones. Ah, it was great. Such a cool little battle.
And I've noticed that about this one, this series, is I think they are already setting a tone for, you know, this is the sequel series, and these are not, you know, the same young X-Men. A lot of them have aged, you know, as far as Wolverine can age. But they've been together longer, and you see, like, these moves happening, and, like, the same thing that was the great villain near the end of the 95 original series, Master Mold, like, oh my God, the big bad. And they just, as a team, took out this big bad. And it's like, we ain't the same X-Men either, brother.
Yep.
No. I mean, we're doing team moves now. So their times in the danger room have really paid off. And they've really set the tone in this new series of who this X-Men team is, compared to the X-Men we grew up to, who argued a lot, who blah, blah, blah. And there's still some of that. There's still, you know, Wolverine throwing shade at Scott, Wolverine being in love with Jean. That's still there. But, like,
Gambit even, not taking even things
Jubilee
seriously.
Is more mature.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Well, she's not the baby anymore, because they got a new kid. That's Sunspot. I forget what his real name is, but it's Sunspot.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you know, I was new once. Yeah. Now I can... Oh, let me show you the ropes, kid.
Yeah. I loved that.
But really, I'm loving...
Paid homage to that first episode, Jubilee's episode, in the very first episode.
I'm really loving the story we're getting with Magneto here. You know, he's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to do things Xavier's way, trying to, you know, prove himself to everyone and try to gain trust. And he gives this big speech where he floats all the politicians up into the sky, and he's got the executioner stuck to that big coin thing, shield, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And was like, I could just squash you right now. Don't make me regret. Let you down. Yeah. Don't. That was exactly what he said.
And he's saying there's two plays on that word. Don't make me let you down. Don't make me drop you here and kill you all and go back to being that Magneto. And in that same light, I'm trying to do good. If I were to let you down emotionally, mentally, you'd come back after me. I'm the bad guy again. So in two ways, he's saying, don't make me let you down. I'm trying to do this Charles way. Literally the last will and testament. And he gave X-Men to me. But that also, how long do you think that lasts? Do you think we keep good guy Magneto and get into bigger actually. Bad?
I'm hoping so. I think so. I think that everyone, like, nowadays, people love Magneto, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, back then, it's easy to say, okay, Magneto's a villain. There's some redeeming characteristics to him. Sure. And obviously, with his background of, like, being a survivor of the Holocaust and all that stuff. But, like, I think people like him a lot. So, I think they're going to try to... And he even had, like, on the second episode, he was included in the intro.
Yeah.
He had his own little thing with his name, which was awesome. So I'm hoping
I mean, I hope so too. I know that was a big thing, and like when you think X-Men, you think, oh, the bad guy's Magneto. But I think we live in a day where, like, we don't have to do that anymore. Like, we can sell this. Like, Charles is dead and gone. He was assassinated. But they do need a leader, because I don't think it's Scott. And I don't think Scott thinks it's Scott. I don't think Jean thinks it's Scott, because they want somewhat... They have a kid now. Mm-hmm. And his soul... mentality is going to be about that kid before the team, and the leader cannot be focused on a baby like Scott and Jean would. I do hope that, you know, they stick with this Magneto thing, being a good guy and us getting good Magneto. I know that there's trouble already a brewing because Gambit saw, kind of figured out that Rogue and him has.
They've got history.
They've got history that Gambit did not know about.
Yeah.
And a lot of it plays into the fact that the way Magneto manipulates electricity between and magnetism between bodies, he can actually touch Rogue.
Yeah.
So there's that.
He can give her something that Gambit can't. Yeah. And poor Storm lost her powers.
Lost her powers.
That heartbreaking moment where she's reaching out to the sky and she's like, I can't feel the moisture, the wind. I
can't feel the breeze.
What have they done to me?
Yeah.
That's something that has like been a part of her whole life. Yeah. That she's it's
and
always
it was
been like
kind
a
of foreshadowed really well, because she talks to Jean about, you know, you want your child to be born normal. I too have
I can relate
often longed
she said
to know what it was like to be normal, to live a normal life. I think we all have. So, I mean, will it last? We don't know. We know that they played on that cure thing a little bit in X3. And come to find out it didn't last. I think it would be intriguing if early on and most of this season, like, there's that stake, that raised stake of, wow, they can take our abilities.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have Storm. We don't have the goddess of... The goddess of the lightning and
well,
the weather.
And I think also now that Nathan is in the picture, the baby, this means probably we're going to get Cable in some form or fashion coming back into things. And when he was in the previous series, like they dropped little hints of, you know, that Jean and Scott are his parents, but they never really like straight up talk about it. It wasn't really like a plot line or anything.
No.
It was just like it flashed the image of, you know, them in his head or whatever. And that was it.
Yeah.
So now they can really dive into that and explore that. Because now it's like, oh, well, we didn't really know for sure that this was our son. And now here he is in the future and blah, blah, blah. So could be that, you know, a lot of their powers get taken or whatever. And Cable has to come back and fix something and revert time and all that. And Bishop too, maybe.
Quite possibly.
So. I'm looking forward to it.
What's been, early on, what's been some of your favorite parts about it?
I think that because of the new technology and the new ways that they can animate some of the more fluid fighting sequences that, you know, we couldn't quite get as much in the 90s. Like there was a part where Morph changed into Psylocke. And they had a little fight that looked really cool. We talked already about the little team up moves with Gambit and Wolverine. That was so great.
Well, like Morph, when they were fighting those insurrectionists, literally morphed into like four or five different characters that we have already met and known to fight them. Like he flips into Psylocke, fight, 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 switches into another one, fight, fight, fight. It's like you said, this fluid and not just shows where we are in technology, but like, calling back to what I said earlier, shows how much more comfortable Morph is being Morph.
Yeah.
That he is, you know, older, more skilled, wiser on not just his powers, but the fluidity he can use them. Because there was so much in the early series about battling the inside of themselves being mutants.
Yeah.
And now, you know, they know they're like, I am a mutant by God, you know? So now there's less fighting internally with them all. and you see more external fighting, like embodying who they are and using those skills that they have. And like you said, with the technology, I think we are in for some really cool team up moves, group moves, more fluidity in the fights, maybe more action than diatribes and talking and stuff like that. Maybe it's a more action packed series.
I think also I'm looking forward to the fact that, like, you know, in the old seasons of the show, there wasn't necessarily one overarching story that connected the whole thing together. It was separate stories. And some of them were 4 or 5 episodes long, like the Phoenix stuff and all that. And then it would start over and it'd be a new thing. I think with the way we do storytelling now, you know, in TV and stuff, I think it'll probably be one overarching, you know, story, which is great. And I really like how sometimes we made the reference to things that we grew up with feeling like an old friend, you know, this old familiar thing. That's what this felt like, but specifically for us now at this age. But what's also cool about it is, like, it's something that my kid can watch with me, which she did. And, like, she's learning the names of the X-Men, and she drew this awesome picture of Wolverine for me this morning. It looks great. So, you know, that's really exciting for me as well. So bravo, Disney, Marvel animation, all you guys. I think this is a win so far.
I believe so too. My question, I guess, to you is, where do we go if in the first 2 episodes we have already arrested Bolivar Trask, Gigerich is still in prison, Magneto is working to be good and being a good guy, we've already destroyed Master Mold, who was the big bad near the end there. So where do we go? Who is a bad guy that you bring in?
I think it's going to be Mr. Sinister. Because the whole thing at the end of the second episode where Jean showed up at the door, but it wasn't Jean.
Yeah.
I think that's Madeline Pryor, which is like a Jean clone, and that's totally a part of the Sinister. Mr. Sinister story. So
yeah,
I think it's going to be Sinister. And then I guess, you know, Xavier is not dead. Charles is not dead.
No.
To refresh your memory, he was shot, you know, at the end, and he was like in a coma, but he's out in space somewhere healing. Lalandra came and took him away. So he's healing with the Shi'ar Empire or whatever. So he'll be back.
Sure.
But that's the thing. Like, what's going to call him back? What reason is it like, all right, well, time to head back home. Something big has got to happen. So probably Mr. Sinister.
Yeah. So they're still doing this thing, though, in the title of the Brotherhood and the X-Men going at each other. I know there's only been 2 episodes, but at the end, there's still that.
Mm-hmm.
And Magneto's part of the Brotherhood there. So in that little sequence. So do you think that's just a forgotten detail that they're keeping as part of the entrance because
part of the nostalgia,
or are they still kind of setting up and saying, like, you know, this won't last, like Magneto can't last as a good guy?
I don't know, because I think it'd be crazy for them to go through this and not bring in Juggernaut or Mystique or any of the others in some form.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Mystique's running the Brotherhood now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember where we left Mystique, you know, in the old series, but I mean, you got to bring her in.
I need to rewatch that last season.
Now I kind of want to rewatch the whole series, but who's got the time?
It'd be great to rewatch the whole series. I started Colton on them about a year or so ago, and I think we got through season 1 together. So, any final thought on X-Men?
I'm looking, how many episodes are we getting? 10,
12, something. Like that. It's very short.
Let me look here. Yeah, 10 episodes. I mean,
that's where we're at these days. Like we've said multiple times, we're at, you know, 10 to 12 short seasons, multiple seasons, as opposed to seasons being 20 segments, 22 and 25 episodes long.
So. Yeah, the finale will be on May 15th. The remaining episodes, Fire Made Flesh, number 4, Motendo / Life Death Part 1. Episode 5, Remember It. Episode 6, Life Death Part 2. Episode 7, Bright Eyes. And then 8, 9, and 10 are a 3-part finale, Tolerance is Extinction.
Wow. When do they drop? What days do they drop?
Fridays, I believe.
Fridays?
Friday. One episode. Episode 5 drops on your birthday. So what day is that?
That's a Wednesday.
So Wednesday. Okay, so Wednesdays. My bad.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we'll get another one the 27th, so this coming Wednesday.
Cool. And that's when we drop our episodes. So each week.
Today.
Yeah, each week we will discuss that episode before we go into the next episode that will drop on the day that we release. So we will talk about these each episode, so follow along. Hope you're enjoying X-Men being back. And if you're not an X-Men fan and you're not watching, you know, that's your prerogative. It is what it is. Let us know your thoughts if you are watching. How do you feel about X-Men being back? How do you feel about the new animation, some of the voices, where we're going, storyline? Give us your thoughts. 30nerdypod@gmail.com. Hit us up on social media using the hashtag 30andNerdyPod. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about a very dark documentary that just dropped. Yeah. A very interesting documentary for all of us kids of the 90s. And all that and more when 30 Nerdy Podcast returns.
What's up, guys? This is Logan, better known as the Rev of Rents, on yours truly, 30 and Nerdy Podcast. Exciting news coming to you because your boy now owns a business. And that business is Shane's Rib Shack in Georgia, McDonough, Highway 81. And we've got some delicious food. We got ribs. We got wings. We've got tendies. We've got boneless. We've got everything that you want. You like burgers? We got that too. And I would be very appreciative if you showed me the love that you showed me here, right here, the 30 Nerdy Podcast, and go and find me in Georgia and eat some of that Shane's Shack food. And if you do, always tell them that 30 and Nerdy sent you. And I promise, my word right here, you mention 30 and Nerdy, you get the free sweet tea. That's on me. And that's a promise, because the Reverence never breaks a promise.
What's up, nerds? This is Rich from the Three Fat Nerds Podcast, and you're listening to our Council of Nerds brethren, the 30 and Nerdy Podcast. Of course, when you're done with this awesome podcast, you can check out the Three Fat Nerd Podcast wherever you get great podcasts just by searching Three Fat Nerds. And if you want all your information about what we do over there, you can visit 8122productions.com. Now let's get back to the 30 and Nerdy Podcast.
Hi, this is Phil Lamar, and you're listening to the 30 and Nerdy Podcast.
We're back, nerds and nerdettes, and this past week, last week, a documentary dropped that took the world by storm, called Quiet on Set.
Yeah,
and it was all about
the dark side of
kids' TV. The kids' television era of our prime, really, when Nickelodeon was God. Of the television waves before Disney TV became a thing, Nick ruled the airwaves. Its only competition was probably Fox cartoons, you know, like what became Cartoon Network, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was an entire almost decade where Nickelodeon reigned supreme on the TV airwaves with shows like Are You Afraid of the Dark and Gas and Pete and Pete and Clarissa Explains It All and all that and The Mystery Files of Shelby Woo and Alex Mack all of those shows.
Kablam! What was that show?
Kablam!
That was part of what was that show that had all the different? Was Kablam the name?
Kablam
of it?
Was the yeah,
and it had like the little it superhero little, action figures. Yeah, what were yeah, their? What were they called? Action Team Now.
Action Team Now. Yeah.
Melting Man.
And there was naked one that was man, like a He-Man or something.
Yeah, he was naked.
Yeah. Yeah. Ren and Stimpy. All of those.
Yeah.
Running around Nickelodeon. Everybody in the 90s, every kid wanted to be slimed. It was your
I still want to be slimed. So bad.
Right.
Last year, I spent my spring break in Orlando with the high school's band and choir. And we went to Orlando to perform at Universal and all this stuff. And we were performing on the soundstage where they filmed like some of the shows. I was talking to a lady there who worked there. She was like a manager or something. She said, yeah, we filmed Figure It Out Here and all this different stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, can I get slime? Do you still have the slime stuff hooked up somewhere? She's like, no, if we did, I would totally let you get slime, but we don't have any of that anymore. So I was very sad, but it was cool to still be in the building where some of those things happened.
So why don't you take us through, Juice? What was released in this documentary?
Well, they really just talked a lot about, for one, a big name from that time was Dan Schneider. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he would have cameo roles. You know, he was like the manager Good Burger in the movie and everything. So, you know, as a 90s kid who I watched Nickelodeon a lot, like if I was around, the TV was on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
So I recognized him. I saw him for years. I didn't know his name, but I knew who he was. But he was also like one of the head writers, creators, directors. He was a big deal. He's a producer. Turns out he's a terrible guy, like really bad, not a nice dude, which is sad and unfortunate, especially since he was working with children.
Yeah.
And they have all these pictures where it looks like everyone's having a great time and he's just fun loving, like, you know, he's like a Funkel, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it turns out he's incredibly abusive, especially to, you know, some of the people working under him.
Especially women working under
him. Oh my gosh. Like some of his writers, like they hired two female writers, but paid them half a salary.
Split the salary. They said, oh, you're going to have to do this. This is the only way we can do it. And that went on for years before they found out from the Writers Guild, that's illegal. You can't do that.
Yeah. And so then he was, you know, in a fury because, one of them was speaking to someone about this and he's like, oh, make sure you never work here again. And, you know, he would make people say things and do things and just.
Yeah.
Very appropriately. Just
it's a terrible human being.
Yeah. Not a nice dude at all.
Sounds like he'd make a good president one day.
come to find out. It gets even worse though. You know, there's this really popular show at the time, Drake and Josh.
Yeah.
And this show was sort of after my time as a Nickelodeon kid. Like,
yeah, it came after us.
But I knew those kids because Josh Peck was in Snow Day and he's just one of those faces that you see him around on stuff on Nickelodeon.
And we knew somewhat of these two from the Amanda Show.
Yeah, that's it. And I did watch the Amanda Show. But there was a guy there. I think was he a dialect coach, right?
Dialect coach, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he just got really involved with Drake's
life. Literally,
career in his life.
Literally flipped Drake and Drake's mom against his own father. Lied and gaslit them to basically push out Drake's father.
Because the father
was
had suspicions and he was protective.
Yeah.
And then he was out of the way.
Yeah.
And then all these horrible things happen to poor Drake, who's like a 15-year-old kid who is here with someone he's supposed to trust, who's supposed to have his best interests at heart, and is abusing him.
Yes.
And, you know, he didn't go into graphic details or anything, which, you know, he doesn't need to. He doesn't have to. But no. If you read the charges, which they show you, you know, in the newspaper, whatever.
Yeah, they show you the docket and everything. Again,
so you can imagine just.
He, you know, and, says, he says, I want you to think of the worst possible thing.
Yeah.
That an adult could do to a kid in a sexually abusive relationship. And that's it. Like the worst possible thing you can think of.
And like, think about this poor kid, a 15-year-old kid who is famous, yes. You know, more or less, making all this money. Everyone knows who he is. This other guy who's really well-liked, got some power, got some pull at the studio, you know, you'd say, at Nickelodeon. Everyone loves this guy. And then this happens. He goes and tells people, and what happens next? It, you know, everyone knows what happened to him. He, how embarrassing, you know, that's got to feel.
Yeah.
How that, and then like, what if people don't believe him?
Mm-hmm.
And like, it would just cause this huge thing. And so he felt like he couldn't say anything. And I'm sure that there's lots of situations out there that we don't even know about where things similar to that are going on.
Absolutely. And probably still today. I mean, this wasn't just
scary,
a nice thing.
You know, it's
the thing
awful.
That stuck out to me was that I think has made a lot of waves is the people who wrote in support of this dialect coach. Names like Sean Hunter from Boy Meets World and Wilford Dill and a lot of them. And I think it was Maddie who even made the comment, this is heartbreaking, but how much of the story were they actually told before they wrote those letters of support?
Yeah.
And it turns out that a lot of them weren't told any of the story.
Exactly. Which is another thing, like this kid finally does come forward and speaks up about this. And then that's the reaction to it, how that's got to feel. So it really made you feel for poor Drake, you know?
And he's battled his thing. He even said, you know, a lot of this, the fact that I didn't go to therapy, the fact that I hid it for so many years is what drove my demons to start showing itself, you know, alcoholism, the abuse he let out into the world. To underage people, because you know it wasn't too long ago that he was in trouble, and canceled and blacklisted.
It goes to show you, like, and this is something that I had to sort of learn a few years ago. Like, if you don't learn how to cope and deal with certain experiences and certain traumas that you go through, your mind / body will find a way to cope with it, and it will not be, in most cases, a healthy way. So that's why mental health is like super, super important. And I think that it's, thankfully, I think we're getting to an age where that is far, far more accepted and believed and understood than it, you know, was even 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So just remember that, everybody. Like, you gotta, absolutely, you gotta find a way to cope with your stuff in a healthy way, whatever it
wild
is.
Wild thing to me is the amount of people like that this has probably happened. That one thing that we said was the people that didn't speak out in this documentary. Mm-hmm. How many more people are out there from just this generation that the documentary was hitting on? It was talking about how many have still to this day not spoken out that did get abused.
In the original cast of all that, you remember Mary Beth?
I do.
She's, you know, kind of the bigger gal.
Well, and they make a comment about her when what's her face was starting to gain some weight. They
said,
We've already got a fat one.
You can't be the fat one.
Ugh, what a dick. Ugh.
I wonder what she would say. Like, what her experiences were as a bigger actress in that time on that set. You know, I wonder what Kel Mitchell has to say. I wonder what Kenan Thompson has to say. course, I don't know that he would. He's flourishing, longest tenured member of Saturday Night Live in history, and he's had a very successful career. And so far as we know, he's emotionally stable and all that stuff, hopefully. But yeah, there's a lot of people that I wish would that they had spoken to. I mean, maybe there'll be another one. Maybe there'll be a follow-up where they have some other people come forward.
Maybe.
And
maybe this will make some people brave enough to tell their stories.
And what's her name? She was on iCarly.
Cosgrove. Oh, you mean Sam?
No.
The one who played Sam. Jeanette McCurdy.
Yes, yes, yes. Like, they showed a lot of her stuff. And I remember when her book came out, and I sort of know her story. I'd like to see a documentary about her. I would like to hear more about her.
I actually read her book on Audible, or I had her book on Audible. Wow. Wild stuff. I was also very intrigued that they talked a lot about her, but nobody's heard word from Amanda Bynes on any of this. Because, I mean, we grew up with Amanda, saw her prime, saw her flourish. I mean, she was awesome in Hairspray. I loved her in the movie She's the Man. Loved the Amanda Show. I loved Amanda Bynes. And then we also saw her downfall.
Yeah.
And it's just so, like, it's literally, it basically said without saying, this is probably a big reason she, you know, in their terms, lost their mind and fizzled out.
How many of these child stars have, you know, these crazy stories like this? It's just,
oh, I mean,
this, so like many said, of them, this even outside of 90s thing.
Think about, think about what poor Dorothy Gale went through. You hear horror stories about Wizard of Oz and how they treated her. During Wizard of Oz.
Judy Garland.
Yeah, Judy Garland.
Oh, okay, yes.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
There are all those stories that she went through as a 14-year-old on a Hollywood set in the 30s.
Yeah.
She went through hell. I mean, they chained her up, and not physically chained her up, but they, like, fed her coffee and cigarettes and shit just to make her stay awake. And
I had heard that they had forced her to have an abortion. I don't know that that's true, but...
So, I mean, it's not a new thing, but hopefully this documentary will push us towards and push more people to start talking more about it to where it becomes an outdated thing in the next few years.
Yeah.
Like, that these sets can be set, because this stuff's still going on in the world. And plus, these shows are like, I saw a trailer the other day for a new show on Nickelodeon full of kids. Nickelodeon's still doing kids shows. So it kind of makes you think, like, are today's kids more protected?
You know, it seems, we don't know, we weren't there, obviously, but it seems like the kids from the Harry Potter movies all have turned out to be pretty well adjusted. Yeah. Don't seem to have had any terrible experiences there. They've all come back and talked fondly about it. So, you know,
hopefully in these modern days, it is better. And it is, especially with this documentary out, and the more it'll get watched and recycled and watched again, and people saying, like, hey, have you seen, hey, have you watched this? And more people of all walks of life seeing these stories. Hopefully it will do what it's supposed to do and shine that light on, hey, this is what it was like in the 90s. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily not happening anymore. Let's make sure that this never happens again, or we never go back to a time where this shit is allowed to happen.
Yeah. Got to protect the kiddos, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was horrifying, like, as a dad.
Well, I mean, so I would imagine as a father to watch that and to think, like, because some of these things, and the wild thing that I thought was, a lot of these parents were on set, you know, two doors down from the studio, or, you know, in the house while they were backstage and some of this stuff was happening.
Or were afraid to speak up because they didn't want to jeopardize their child's career. Or when they did speak up, like in the case of the one mom, you know, the kid was booted out.
The kid was booted out, and oh, we're not bringing him back for season two. There was only one reason, because the mom spoke out.
And we didn't even talk about, you know, the one guy that was the full-blown pedophile, and in his own words, he said he was the pedophile.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't think I've ever heard someone say that before. Like, I know pedophiles exist, obviously, but
yeah,
to just they be just, so like,
he
yep.
said, this is what I am.
Wow. And like he had the
all these journals and the paper bags.
Bags with
collector's panties, items like, of these chilled, kids.
It chilled me to the bone.
Because that's the kind of shit you see in Criminal Minds. You shouldn't be seeing this shit in real life on a Nickelodeon stage. No, surely not. That's stuff that, you know, Grissom and Olivia Benson and all them deal with, and CSI and SVU. Surely not in real life. But no, this shit was happening to kids our age.
Yeah.
While we were watching them on the show.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. It's like, let's not get it twisted. These kids were our age when it was happening.
Yeah.
The kids that were watching them, the Josh and Tyler at, you know, 10, 11, and 12 who were watching them on Nickelodeon, they were our age. And this shit was what, because they happened to be quote unquote famous, quote unquote, as they say, lucky and in the right place at the right time to gain fame, but unlucky in other aspects.
Yeah. And, you know, they spent a good time on the Dan Schneider part of the story about some of the choices he made for the content of the show. Like,
feet.
I remember that kind of thing. And, like, that was just very Nickelodeon, I felt like, at the time. Like, you know, like, snot and feet and, like,
gross.
You know, that kind of stuff. Like, that was just like a Nickelodeon thing. I had never seen the thing with Ariana Grande and the potato. Or
I didn't watch that show, so I
didn't either.
When Ariana Grande burst on the scene in music, I thought, I didn't know Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Before she came on the scene with her first album, I didn't know that she had done Nickelodeon shows before then, because we were way past our Nickelodeon time. So when I heard about all that stuff and started looking it up, I was like, this is a porn clip.
I had actually seen a lot of iCarly because I actually enjoyed that show. Like my little cousin, Kayla, may she rest in peace.
Yeah.
She used to watch that a lot. And so I would watch that with her. Yeah. And they always told me that they thought that the older brother on the show reminded them of him. So
he's a little more chaotic than you.
A little bit. So I watched that show. I enjoyed that show. So
I watched a little bit of it because Cosgrove was in School of Rock movie.
Yes.
So when Peyton would watch it, I would say, oh, that's Summer from School of Rock.
Yes.
I didn't watch a lot of episodes, but if Peyton was watching it and I was in the living room, I wouldn't like change the TV. I'd watch it.
Well, so I had seen like Sam and Cat like in passing before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I knew Sam because of iCarly.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Ariana Grande on there, and I remember that voice she used. I was like, oh, is that for real? That is so annoying. And then I turned it off. But yeah, they had her doing some really awkward
adult
questionable stuff. And like, she was pouring the water bottle on herself, and it's kind of messed up.
Upside down. Like that.
And it's like, and then they showed the thing from the Zoe 101, which I never saw anything from that show. That was after my time.
What it was, because it was Britney's sister, but I never watched anything.
They squeezed the
stuff on her face.
Thing on her face.
Yeah. Looking at all that, when they were showing all that back, even down to like the feet stuff and being in the hot tub with an adult and being like 15 years old, I was like,
yeah,
this all just went over our heads.
Yeah.
And our parents' heads, because it was just a funny kids show. You know, it didn't make you think about like, oh, they're filming this thing. Like, it's a weird thing to make a 15-year-old do.
And remember the thing on the Amanda show when she was Captain Taint or whatever?
Yeah. When they talked about that.
I'm like, oh. Well,
also, well, right over me.
Don't tell anyone, but that's the area between here and here on a man's body. And then someone asked on set, like, hey,
like a seat, like a suit. No, suit said, a suit asked Schneider, like an exec.
No, set. It's
isn't that
like
this?
It's bad. Like it's tainted.
No, tainted. No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Knowing full well that he was getting this over the execs.
So this guy has, you know, spoken out. He said, I owe a lot of people a lot of apologies. And that's really about it. And he's denied some things.
He's denied. And I thought it was wild that they would pop up the things he did deny. Like it would pop up like a little blurb saying like Dan Schneider has commented, blah, blah, blah. This is not why. But he didn't comment on every single thing. Only on four or five things. So, like, you want to be like, if you were innocent of all of it, you'd have, everything would have had a blurb attached to it. But it didn't.
Not a good dude.
And the fact that he said, I'm ready to get back out there now. No, dude. Never again. We cannot allow a Dan Schneider to ever be in charge of anything child related ever again.
No.
Absolutely baffling to me.
Yeah, same.
All that stuff. It's just, all we can say is we hope it's a different day. It's a different time. We hope that this stuff is not happening and hope that this documentary makes it even more impossible in the future for it to not happen again. So,
and good for Drake Bell for speaking out and telling his story. And I can't imagine.
And
what was it like for him?
I know a lot of people were like pissed off because there was no like public thing that Josh Peck didn't publicly reach out and didn't publicly. And like they started blasting him. And Drake then went on TikTok and said, actually, after the doc aired, he did reach out to me privately.
Yeah. Because not everything has to be a show for the public.
He reached out to me privately. And it shouldn't. Everything shouldn't be public.
Yeah.
So Josh has reached out to Drake. So if you are feeling that, stop feeling that crap. Yeah, I mean, I can't say much more except it was just so mind-blowing to watch. And like our jaws were dropped most of the time. Just holy crap.
Yeah.
Because I mean, when they talked about Brian Peck, I was like, I remember Pickle Boy. I remember.
I didn't.
You didn't? I remember that weird guy. No. Just carrying around playing pickles.
No.
Just didn't think of him at the time as a phallical joke. Just right over the head.
Well, I was kind of shocked to see like he fed someone a pickle through a hole.
Ray Romano through a glory hole.
Yeah.
Fed a pickle through a glory hole and did this weird smile thing. Looking at it now, I was like, oh my God.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like,
oh my God.
Now there's some stuff on like Rocco's Modern Life and stuff that like I can see, and I'm like, oh wow, as an adult, like wow, can't believe they did that.
Like, but what he did for a living. Oh, even in the Rugrats.
The Chokey Chicken.
You know, even in the Rugrats, like the mom was clearly a sex therapist. And the father was clearly suicidally depressed.
I don't know about clearly suicidally depressed.
He is now. Looking back at those episodes now, like, yeah, he's clearly depressed.
No, I thought he was just supposed to be like a exhausted,
exhausted father
genius.
With a 5 o'clock shadow. The grandfather was also a little racist and suffered from severe PTSD.
And also probably some form of sleep apnea and narcolepsy.
Yeah. I would love for us to do a side show, 30 and Nerdy Deep Dives, and go back and watch all of these old things and just watch us see us go, oh my God. You know, how much we actually go, oh, didn't know that. Or didn't realize that at 10 years old.
I bet there's some old, all that stuff we could go back and watch and really be shocked.
Probably.
I didn't really, so like I loved all that, the original series.
It was our SNL.
Yeah. Well, I had forgotten about the revamped one that they did.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
That most of those kids were the ones in the documentary. But I did recognize the kid with the glasses, and they interviewed him a lot. I recognized him. I had seen him on some stuff.
Maddie knew who they were, who the rebooted cast was. but I did not. I remembered in the original stuff, like Pizza Face and Kenan in the Tub is the French guy.
Yeah.
Teaching French facts. Good Burger, obviously.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But yeah, just a wild documentary. If you have not seen it, it's not one of those things that I just be like, what are you doing? Stop what you're doing right now. Run, don't walk, and watch it. If you don't want to know this stuff, don't watch it.
If I mean, you should know.
But you should know. You should absolutely know.
It's pretty fascinating.
It is. Stuff.
I mean, it's horrible, but it's
very
it's
horribly eye-opening. Hauntingly eye-opening.
Yeah.
Make you think twice about wanting your kid to be famous.
Yeah. Stop being so talented, Emma.
I know, right? You can be famous in Morristown. That's it. As long as I can, as long as I can always be on
set. As long as I'm there and I am always your manager.
Yes.
Hey, this is Ken M.
Padawan J.
Coach Duffy.
From the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour podcast. Every week, the ODPH is talking sports, movies, TV, comics, and more. It's always a parlay of topics on each episode. You can find the ODPH on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever you find great podcasts, such as the one you're listening to right now. Don't forget to check out OchoDuroParlayHour.com, where you can find the links to all of the ODPH social media accounts, links to the bands whose music you hear each week on the show, hashtag 607 podcast info, and parlay points, our companion blog section of the show. Thanks for listening to the ODPH. Now get back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Hey, this is Danica Janelle from Talk Culture, and you are listening to the 30 and Nerdy podcast.
So let's get to a little bit more happiness. Happy conversation.
Yeah.
A couple days ago, matter of fact, as we're recording this, last night, we saw Ghostbusters. I mean, would you say four?
Yeah.
Ghostbusters 4, Frozen Empire?
Yeah.
I guess you'd call it Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, the sequel to Afterlife, which was the legacy sequel to Ghostbusters. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I had not seen much on it via social media. I hadn't really been like on social a lot. But like halfway through the movie or something, you said, I'm rather enjoying this. I don't see how it got a 4 on IGN or.
Yeah.
That just baffled me. But then again, I mean, they only gave the original one like an 8 or a 7.
That's pretty good.
And Afterlife, they only gave Afterlife a 7 or an 8. And they don't like sequels. And this is a sequel. So,
yeah.
I just don't listen to other. I stopped following all those things. Like, I don't even follow IGN anymore because of their rating system. And it's literally like one guy who typically runs it. Like, he sees things and this is. This is how the whole company feels about it because I've seen it. It's like, yeah, I'm done with this stuff.
Yeah, you don't take a lot of stock in all that stuff.
I enjoyed it.
I don't know. Like when something
I'm
is
a
rated
shill
high,
for Ghostbusters, though. So
I usually do have high expectations when I see that something has a high rating.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think 4 out of 10, if that's what it was, I think it was, is very harsh. Very, very hard for the criticism, because I did watch a little IGN review and some of the things that they said I thought were fair,
mm-hmm.
but 4 is very harsh. I like you said, I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. I
didn't,
I will say I did not feel the same way.
Yeah. It didn't hit the same as the first one.
Or leaving that movie the way I felt in Afterlife.
Yeah,
it might have to a lot to do with the fact that I saw Afterlife. I don't know if you know this, with some of the cast members at New York Comic Con months before it aired. I don't know if any of y'all know that, but so that
I've
might have
that.
Something to do with it.
Yeah,
but even watching it again with you and with Christopher and with Maddie, the multiple times I watched it in theaters before it left theaters, I still had these chills and these electrified feeling watching Afterlife.
Yeah,
and leaving Afterlife. Sure, absolutely did not have that same feeling leaving Frozen Empire. And I didn't expect to have that same feeling.
But it was fun, right?
It was very fun.
You had fun.
I did have fun.
Okay.
And it was still Ghostbusters. Still got to see Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis callbacks still. And Murray and Zedmore suiting up and fighting with the young generation. Walter Peck returned, and he's actually the mayor now. instead of working for the CDC or whatever the or whatever he was working for in the first movie.
Yeah,
same actor. You know, yeah. William Atherton returned to play Dickless again. So, and did you catch that in the audience?
I did.
Like, yeah, Dickless.
I did.
Joke, funny. One of the best moments of the first movie.
Everything was fine with our system until the power grid was shut off by Dickless here.
They caused an explosion.
Is this true?
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
One of the best parts of the original Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
The thing that stood out the most, though, during our entire time at the theater.
Oh, no.
During Frozen Empire. And I first want to say this. I want to lead with this. Got to meet, for the first time, a living, breathing 30 and Nerdy podcast super fan. One of your students, Carter.
He's actually not yet. He's in, I have Carter in homeroom.
Homeroom. Okay. So a huge shout out to Carter.
He's a future theater kid, I believe.
Future theater kid, 30 and Nerdy.
If the rumors are true, he will be one of us.
Seems like a really cool kid. Great kid.
Guy.
Got a good head on his shoulders, not just because of the podcast he listened to, not just because of the shirt he bought.
Yeah.
But enjoyed the movie, talked to us a little bit, literally said, we better have an episode on this.
Yeah.
The fact that he's listened to every single one of our episodes, even back to the old days, the first one. Bravo, brother. You're one of us.
So cute. I've heard.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And of course, there was another kid there, Tripton. Absolutely love Tripton. Adore Tripton. I've worked with Tripton in the theater world. You've worked with Tripton. He's one of your students.
Yeah. Good guy.
Fantastic.
Great kid. Excellent.
Then there was this third kid.
Yeah. Max.
It takes a lot. It takes a lot to shock me to a point to where I can't form English.
Can't form a cogent simile.
Where I literally just sit and I have to reboot and buffer. Kind of like I have felt like Sheldon when someone sits in his spot. Just like,
what?
Just this. I can't remember, you know, I'm not going to belittle a kid. I'm not a teacher, though. I'm not, you know, I'm not held to the same standards. But the kid with the cool name. I've never.
You've been going on for a while now, and you've not even gotten to what he said that has upset you. So you just carried on for like 2 minutes.
You might have to say it. Like, I can't even. The second he started talking,
he said
and said some of the things. I immediately shut down.
Well, are you talking about when we talked to him in the concession line, or after?
Before. That's what the precursor. That's what immediately. Like, I was like, there's something wrong with this kid.
Well, I don't want to.
I remember the first thing he said. The first thing, we were in the line. He's getting his ticket. He said, I'm here to watch it with Carter and Tripton. No. I've never. The only other Ghostbusters I've seen, Mr. Davis, was the all female cast. I looked at the camera, you know, the invisible camera that's following me around like The Office. Like, I had one of those moments where I would have looked at the camera like, is he?
I think that the kids today would say, chat, is this for real?
Dad, is this for real?
Are you proud that I know that?
I learned that from Bonnie's daughter. One of our words on the board, our Gen Z conversation. She's been educating us at work. But it was one of those moments. I was like, no. And you're here saying, I was just immediately like, you need to leave.
You've never gone to a movie that you didn't really know anything about. Just
No. I have severe rules. I will stay up all night. I will stay up all like if I had watched, if I had went, like if we had just been like, you know what, for the hell of it, you know what we should do is we should go watch the new Fast and Furious. I would have stayed up all night and binged the ones I missed so I can go into it.
But you're a lunatic, though. And he just wanted to go hang out with his buddies on a Saturday night.
Sure. But even at that age, I would have been like, I've got some homework to do before this movie Saturday.
Yeah. Well, like when I was his age, you know, like I don't like scary movies. I don't care about scary movies. But like all of my friends went to see go to Saw 2.
Yeah.
Because that's how old we are. And I hadn't seen the first Saw, but I was like, hey, do I like scary movies? No. Nah. Did I see the first one? No. Nah. But all my buds are going, so I'll go too. Let's go, guys. So we went.
Oh, God. See, there's something about that that just.
I mean, I figured it out. There's a dude that locks people in a house and he makes them kill themselves. I don't know.
There's this old guy with a really creepy voice.
Yeah, I worked it out. He likes to play games. He's got a doll on a tricycle. He likes recording things.
He's got a really killer voice. I really wish that he'd read Old Yeller to me.
The chick from Seventh Heaven had to like crawl through a pile of needles or something. Yeah. You know?
That's a deep cut. What's to know? What are you? Chick from Seventh Heaven.
I don't know if she was that one. She might have been the one that like choked to death from the gas.
Yeah, that was
her. I don't know. There was a lot of stuff going on in that house.
Yeah, there's a lot that went on.
I don't recommend it. You were offended that poor Max hadn't seen the other Ghostbusters movies and was there to see this one.
It was his first offense.
I mean, I don't think that we should like give the full information for everybody. Like what?
No, I'm not gonna. It was more of his just cavalier, trolley attitude, just like, I don't need to watch it. Blah, 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 blah. It's like watching Endgame. The last part of Endgame is an hour and a half too long. I don't need that.
Oh, Max.
I would hate to play Call of Duty with this guy in my ear all the time. Do you see that one kill I got? He's still mad about that one kill. Like, I hit him with a knife from 30 yards out. It's literally your only kill of the game. Yeah, but it's still the kill that pissed you off. And he sounds nothing like this. That's what I heard. I didn't hear. Wah, 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 wah. I heard.
Yeah, well, you know. I didn't know that. I really didn't need to watch all of them.
Oh, come on. He's a great kid.
I'm sure he is.
He's wonderful, actually.
I'm sure he thinks he's wonderful.
No, I think he is. He's great.
Well, you
he's
said that he was this brilliant kid, and like he's I didn't super get brilliance smart. At
yeah.
him. Maybe book smart. Again, not a teacher, not held to the same standard. Like I wouldn't like if this kid were broken down on the side of the road, I would absolutely help him. He's not like that bad.
There are people that
are like he's not like a pit guy. For me, you know, he's not like I don't have him in a pit somewhere, like put the lotion in the basket. He's not one of those. He's not one of those people. I have plenty of those in my life. I was just baffled.
No, you're like lowering down Ghostbusters movies.
I'm going to watch this one next.
It puts the DVD in the player.
Watch this one next. And I was like, literally, it's like the only one you've seen was that travesty. That's saying like the only Fantastic Four you've seen was the 2014 travesty or whenever that movie came out. The one that I watched.
I don't know that that's a good example because none of those are really considered like.
Yeah, but still, the first two were far better than that trash that Michael B. Jordan was in.
I
didn't walk out of the other two.
But at the end, where all the last ones in the theater. And I look back at the boys. I'm like, hey, boys, what did you think? Oh, yeah, it was great. We loved it. It was awesome. And then I said.
That's what he said. He said that first.
And I was like, well, Max, you need to spend your spring break watching all the other movies. He's like, I don't really have time. I got plans to watch something else. I got people coming over to my house to watch.
I literally got 42 movies of another IP that I'd rather watch.
Children's specific programming that they're gonna watch,
and it sucks.
And remember, he was like, doesn't that sound fun though? And I said, that sounds great, but you know what sounds better is watching Ghostbusters. And I said, but you're kidding, right? And he was like, no. Oh, poor Max. He's just teasing. You're a great guy. We love you. he's just really baffled. Really baffled at your taste in the movies here. Because you know, like, all of his buddies who hear this are going to make him listen to this.
I'm just baffled by his
vibe. You've just put this poor guy on blast for like 5 minutes.
Was it about 5 minutes?
It's like, probably been a long 30 time.
30 seconds.
He's a kid. He's like 16.
What is it?
Or 17.
Every generation before the next generation always says, I fear for the future. Because this next generation is going to rule, destroy the world.
No. No.
No, I'm sure he's a brilliant kid. He just doesn't have all of his head on straight. I'm going to tell you this.
If he ran for office.
Okay.
If he were the appropriate age to run for office. And you know, Tyler, I have very high standards when it comes to this. That I don't speak about on here or publicly in any form or fashion.
Yeah, we have very high standards.
I would vote for him.
Bar's been pretty low, so.
I would vote for him.
Okay.
Okay. It's true.
All right.
Because I've heard him talk about things that he would do.
I wouldn't vote for him if he didn't watch the other movies first.
Well, for a vote, I'm sure he would do it.
You get my vote, Max. If you watch those other movies first.
He'll do it.
Said, when we were leaving the theater, I said, nah, I don't hate on him too much. If someone said, you haven't watched all the Fantastic or Fast and Furious, I'd go, hell no, I haven't. Screw those movies. I got family.
In space.
In space. No. So, I'm just riffing. Just riffing. But I did enjoy the movie. Oh, I got all that out. We can talk about the movie.
Oh, yeah, the movie's great.
Yeah, it's great. So Wednesday means that we are past the embargo. We can talk spoilers.
All right.
The cast, all the cast returns. One of the first comments I made when we saw him was podcast grew up.
Yeah.
From movie to movie. It's been like 2.5 years since the other movie. And holy crap, the kid grew up.
He's a handsome little devil.
Handsome little devil. Still funny.
Yeah.
Had some great moments with Dan Aykroyd. And of course, McKenna Grace. She's fantastic in the movie.
She's charming. She's just very lovely.
Charming. Very charming.
Dude, I'm sure we've talked about this. Like, I know I've talked about this. Have you watched that movie that she did with Captain America?
No, I still have it, actually. I have your copy.
You have my copy of that movie.
I have your copy.
All right.
So we'll watch it and we'll do an episode on it.
We don't need to do an episode on it.
I mean,
it's not in our genre.
It's not like noteworthy. Okay.
No, it's like a feel good. Like, this is a movie that Madison would want to watch.
Okay.
And I think she can hear me right now.
I still have.
What's the name of it?
Was it Gifted?
Gifted. Madison, make Tyler watch Gifted with you.
Okay.
It's great. It's a great movie. McKenna Grace is in it when she was probably like 10 years old. She's lovely. She's like a little female Sheldon.
Okay.
Captain America's in it. Chris, whichever one he is. Chris.
Evans.
Him. Yeah, check it out. And also, I'm pretty sure Octavia Spencer's in it, too.
Oh, I love Octavia Spencer.
Right? Isn't she great? So
you wouldn't have seen.
I might be making that up.
Seen this, but her scary movie, Mama. She was terrifying.
I did. No, I saw it.
Did you?
I did.
Terrifying.
I watched that.
She was so eerie.
And Jenny Slate is also in it.
Oh, I do like Jenny Slate.
She's in it. So
reach for the stars, because the stars don't have arms to reach for you. Thank you.
Have I sold it to you yet?
Yeah, you've sold it.
Just watch it. It's got a 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Well, I love rating systems.
I know. So anyway, we should probably talk about Ghostbusters now, because we've been talking about everything else.
The cameo that I was most excited about, other than William Atherton's return as Peck, was Slimer.
Yeah.
The returning Slimer.
What ended up happening to him in the end?
At the end of the first one, he escapes in the cross rip and the explosion of the firehouse. And he's never re-caught. And the second one, Rick Moranis stumbles on him and he chases him through the firehouse. And then he drives Rick Moranis in the bus to the museum to help the guys on the second one.
Okay.
So he's literally just been chilling in the attic of the firehouse for 40 years.
In a big pile of trash.
In a big pile of candy. And so yeah, Slimer had some fun moments with Finn Wolfhard's character.
When Finn found the goo on the ceiling, you were like a kid on Christmas. You were like,
because it's the green slime. We made that in a YouTube exclusive. We made green slime. We did. Check out our YouTube channel.
That was a good cameo. I thought you were going to say you were most excited about the library ghost.
That was exciting too.
That was really cool.
That was exciting too, because
and the boys talked about that one too.
Because it's Ray, and in that first movie, Ray's the one who says "get her," and that's his plan. I've got a plan. Get her. That was your plan, Ray. Get her. Also a great cameo. The librarian, the head of the librarian, had he came back. Mm-hmm. Same actor from the first movie. Coming out and going, Mr. Stance, you're still barred from the library. And we had a new character cameo, Mr. Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
Showing up in the Ghostbusters universe as a master of languages and folklore.
Yeah.
So it's cool. I guess they're going the way of that kind of old animated show and the video games, just kind of like it's this big universe, all these like theatrical ghosts and big bosses, semi bosses. And it did feel very different than an actual Ghostbusters movie. Felt like a Ghostbusters movie using video game and the old cartoon TV show.
Yeah. And like the motorcycle and,
that's where they're going with this universe is like anyone can be in it. It's going to be a vast universe. Maybe some shows will come out of it with different cast members, because we did meet, you know, this little British guy who were and some other staff members of the Ghost Research Society building. I was still holding out hope, though. I was holding out hope for. I'm still. Until he dies, holding out hope for Rick Moranis to do something.
I was hoping that too. And if they do a third one, you know, maybe that'll be it.
Him or Oscar, you know, there is a kid out there. Yeah. Sigourney Weaver does have a kid in this universe. That's two movies where Oscar hasn't been mentioned. And neither has Lewis Tully. So there's a third one. I would imagine that they will continue with this universe because it is a money-making universe and a fan-favorite universe. People love the Ghostbusters universe, and Reitman does it well because, I mean, it is what his father did, so he grew up around it.
He was in, was it the second one?
Yeah, he was in the second one.
Oh, my dad says you guys are full of crap.
Yeah. Does he? Play the song. I thought the villain's stakes of the villain was a little started out a little watered down.
The plot was a little convoluted. Dude. I felt like it was a little all over the place.
It was all over the place. And there were some things that were missing, like in the first, in Afterlife, there was this thing between Lucky and Trevor, Finn's character. Yeah. And in this one, it's like there was no romance. Kind of like it just
like barely when he saw her, he was like, Lucky. Oh, there she is. You know,
yeah.
Like just a little bit there. That was it.
But there was no subplot there, like there was in the first one. It's just kind of ignored.
Yeah.
But I did think that they had the ability with this villain, though, with this big bad, that they could have killed someone. You know?
I agree.
They could have raised the stakes and killed someone.
Yeah.
But they didn't. Everyone survived.
I agree.
Spoiler alert. Everyone survived. In the trailers, you know, I really thought, like, watching the trailers and the severity that the trailer made you feel, I was like, man, either one of the old guard or already a new guard member might die in this one, you know, to raise those stakes to the severity of this villain. Because this villain is, you know, supposed to be scarier than Gozer, you know.
He was pretty scary.
But and he was very towering.
He kept making me think of Supreme Leader Snoke from Star Wars.
Yeah. He also kind of gave me this vibe of like some old Warcraft villain or something. But I thought the world building was still cool in the aspect of we are back in New York and there's like this modernness to it. Like, oh, they're just driving around busting ghosts, messing up the city. You know, they're established again. They're haunting this old myth, the New York sewer dragon, you know, blah 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 at the beginning, and I enjoyed it. I'm very admitting, you know, I don't give it a. I think I gave Afterlife like a 9.5.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't give this one a 9.5. I'd give it maybe a 7. In my opinion,
I think that's fair. That's very fair.
But I don't want to be over, you know. I love the Ghostbusters franchise. I'm very much like you are with Star Wars. You know, you just keep giving me Ghostbusters, man. And it made me
ghosts, proton packs, the car. Yeah. I'm good.
You give me the wah, wah, and the theme song and some proton packs, I will see it.
Yeah.
It made me change one of my answers to our Q&A in the first episode, you know.
Really?
Because I think if I could live in any universe in the first episode, I still haven't went back and listened. I think I said something like either DC or Supernatural or something. This past time I said I'd like to be a Saiyan in the Dragon Ball Z universe. I was reminded, nah, I want to be a Ghostbuster, man. Just give me, put me in my jumpsuit with my last name on the thing, give me a proton pack, get me in the car with a group of guys that and girls that are busting ghosts. And
but here's my question. As a Ghostbuster, would you go to your family home and look for Madeline, the little ghost girl?
That's the first ghost I'm busting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta go, girl.
This time.
Line them up.
What'd you think about the whole deal with Phoebe? This was one of the criticisms from IGN, and I gotta say, like, I was feeling this way too. Phoebe is like so smart, genius kid, but she does really stupid stuff in this movie.
She does.
Like, oh, I'm gonna be friends with the ghost, and I'm going to switch out of my body in this machine. I don't know what's gonna happen. It's never been done before, but I'm gonna do it. Why not?
I'm going to not listen to my parent, and I'm going to sneak
out.
There's
a difference in bold and stupid.
Yeah, she was stupid in this one. She was, and I think, you know, if there was a defense to be made, if I'm playing devil's reject or devil's advocate.
Advocate.
don't you like clowns? Don't you think we're funny? If I was playing devil's advocate, I would say she is being a stupid teenager. She was told, be a kid, be stupid, be normal. She is being a stupid teenager. She's trusting the wrong person, but that's a light defense. She did do very stupid things for such a brilliant kid.
Yeah.
Because the whole first movie is selling you on, this is the first brilliant mind since Egon Spengler in this universe. So, and she's a Spengler. Like, Egon would have never been like, okay. Egon absolutely would have been two steps ahead of the ghost.
Yeah.
So I do think that was a falter in the writing. Unless their intention was to, she was a stupid kid. She might be brilliant, but at the end of the day, she's a kid. Doesn't matter how brilliant you are, you make mistakes.
I felt like, I'm sure it was on purpose. There were a lot of times where I looked at her and I thought, man, she just looks like Egon with the glasses.
They've done really well. They do something with her nose too.
Yeah.
Because McKenna doesn't have that Spangler knows in real life. But I enjoyed it ultimately. I think the addition of I thought it wasn't my favorite thing, this whole Firemaster thing. I wasn't like, oh, that's cool lore to add. You know, and I think he's absolutely hilarious. He's one of the more bright spots of Eternals. He's one of the few redeeming qualities of that movie.
Always funny. And he did the voice for a duck in Migration.
Yes, he did.
And he was great in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Kumail. I think, and I don't hate the lore of it, maybe. I don't hate, like, oh, he's from this line of, you know, there was this line.
It didn't add up to me that, like, his family is the guardians of this thing, and it's so important, and it's been passed down for thousands of years or however long now. And she didn't bother to, like, explain this to him from an early age.
Yeah, and like, they said something in a line. Like, he says, like, I mean, she might have, but who knows? I didn't listen. We had such a weird relationship.
Yeah,
explaining that with a line, I was like, that's a little weak. Like,
it's an excuse to make him, like, silly.
Yes. Yes. And granted, he's a comedian, you know. I get it, but it was definitely, I don't know, it wasn't my favorite thing. The whole Firemaster, maybe I would have given them a cooler title. Yeah. It felt very much like, well, we've used Keymaster. Let's just call him Firemaster.
On the next one, there'll be Windmaster.
Yeah. And then before you know it, it's like, oh, he's the Avatar Master.
The Earth Master.
It wasn't my favorite part. I would have given him some cooler name. Much cooler name. Something old. Sanskrit name that dates back to the same time that this ice deity is supposed to have dated back for 6,000-7,000 years ago. Firemaster was what they were called. Bullcrap. He has some cool ass name. You know, the things that beat them were called the Firemasters 7,000 years ago. Nah, they were called something cool in some foreign language. We're just calling them Firemaster for this movie. Give them a cool name. Give the whatever they were.
Maybe they just wanted something easy to pronounce.
Maybe. But, you know, there's definitely some misses in this one compared to the first one. And, of course, compared to the originals. I mean, you'll never beat the originals. But Afterlife was so good.
And sequels are hard.
Sequels are very hard. They're very
especially hard. After such a successful one.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of fun with it. And I know you had fun with it.
It's just a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, a lot of Easter eggs, a lot of callbacks. Great movie, in my opinion. I enjoyed it, and I will see it again in the theaters. You know I will. if you've seen it, what do you all think about it, Nerds and Nerdettes? Send us your thoughts, 30nerdypod@gmail.com. Hit us up with the hashtag 30nerdypod. Juice. Before I let you loose, a trailer dropped recently.
I haven't seen it. I know what you're talking about. I
watch it right now. I want to, because I got to talk to Tim Burton because he's apparently listening to these podcasts and he stole something.
No,
from us. And I'll wait for you.
Okay. Is this official teaser trailer?
Official trailer. It's like
full trailer?
Yeah.
Day-o. Oh, the bridge. Oh, mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. The juice is loose.
What the heck, man? You're the juice. We've been saying the juice is loose since Rev gave you the nickname, man.
Man, You know, I think we gotta find a way to get that.
I'm gonna send. Yeah, we need to trademark that.
Man, well, that looks great. Ah. I can't wait.
You want to know who else is attached to the project? They haven't announced this part yet. Willem Dafoe. Yeah. Ooh.
Well,
I bet he's the big bad.
Oh, surely.
Lydia. Sandworms. Hate him, right? Hate him myself.
That's pretty good. That's maybe he's
one,
like,
along with the Ghostbusters, like, that's another one that I'm just like, oh.
I would make him like Death or Satan or something.
Yeah. Beetlejuice, like, you gotta help me, Lydia.
He's a bad dude. You got me coming to you for help. I said, Lydia.
I'm excited for that. That's September. Comes out in September.
Yeah.
We will be there.
A little ways away, but it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah. No kidding. No joshing. Well, nerds and nerdettes, that is it for us.
That's all.
That's all for this week.
That's it.
You enjoy your spring break, my friend.
Oh, you know I will.
I do. I do know you will. I know you enjoy your breaks.
I love them.
Well, nerds and nerdettes, thank you for tuning in. We will catch you on the next episode. Stay kind. Take care of yourselves. Take care of others. And as always, cheers to you, nerds.
Adios.
There once were two dudes who met back in college. Nobody loved pop culture more. So they started a podcast to talk all about it, and 30 and Nerdy was born. Oh, 30 and Nerdy was born. You might hear them chat about shows like The Witcher or movies like Lord of the Rings. And if Josh has to choose, he is loyal to Marvel, while Tyler goes more for DC. Yes, Tyler goes more for DC. Now come, one and all, nerd up or shut up, just answer the call to be part of our journey into magical worlds. Join us and cheers to ya, nerds. Join us and cheers to ya, nerds.